afternoon, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Pierce Devlin.
This is Subjectively Objective. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Tufts, Freeform Radio. Stephen, we got a lot to talk about, I guess.
Yeah, we do. Mic check. Is my mic working?
You ask every single time.
I have, like, trust issues.
You're okay. Yeah, you're on.
I'm on. So if I screeched really loudly, everyone would...
Are you blind?
No. I'm deaf. All right, let's...
So we've got a lot to put on the table today. I have a lot of new music that I've been listening to, but we also have two things to talk about
in the political sphere.
I was going to say spectrum. Okay.
Spectrum, sphere. Sphere is nicer. Shorter, more concise. Okay, so shall we get right into it?
Yeah, what do you want to start with?
Viewer or listener discretion, this might get heated.
But
let's talk...
Let's start with this, quick.
Quick, yeah, let's get out of the way. We have a really...
This is good.
All right, that's good. That guy has a mean face. Okay, we're going to quickly read a PSA just so we don't have to deal with it later. Okay, Super PAC. Wow, that is convenient. Numbers to think about. Public service announcement. As pointed out by Lawrence Lessig, 80% of all the money so far donated to the Super Political Action Committees, also known as Super PACs, comes from just a total of 196 Americans. This was a very interesting public service. Is this like a socialist? Like, we are too capitalist of a country, only 109. Anywho, a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Freeform Radio.
Thanks, Stephen. That was actually like the one time you didn't laugh while doing it.
Yeah, because I have serious matters to discuss. Actually, this headset is... Hold on.
You can switch. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm gonna
switch. We got two things.
Oh, this is so much better. I think this one was off. That's why it was like hard to hear.
Maybe it's not plugged in.
Maybe it isn't. Okay, we've got two things to talk about.
One's an on-campus thing.
And one... it's not an on-campus thing. I think it'll degenerate into a more... Sorry, I'm going to be as accurate as possible.
Oh,
it'll degenerate into a more relevant topic. And the other is about, as you know, Jeff Sessions is actually having a live press conference. We're going to talk about why he should or shouldn't be excused. But first, do you want to turn the music down and we'll talk about...
Let's do it.
Charlie Baker.
Let's start. So Charlie Baker visited Tufts. You want to turn it down completely?
I just want to turn it down so I can hear myself think. Yeah.
All right. Well, so, you can take the headphones out.
That's true.
So
true.
This all happened last week? Right?
Yes.
All right. Why don't you give us a little quick synopsis about what happened?
I actually didn't go because I had class and whatnot and stuff to do. But Charlie Baker, who is the governor of Massachusetts, a Republican.
Yeah.
Went to come speak at Tufts University.
It was like an open... forum type.
It was part of I forget what it's called. Here, let me pull it up real quick. Give me 2 seconds.
All right. Well, it was. I'm almost positive that it was like designed to be an open forum discussion setup.
It was part of a series, though. It was part of the. Give me 1 second.
About who said it? Who organized the event?
Okay, the Tisch College for Civic Life.
Oh yeah.
So that was the event organized, and it was moderated by Alan Solomon, who is our ambassador to Spain and Andorra.
Cool.
So I think the function of it was to just talk about the trajectory of our country in terms of domestic foreign politics.
Yeah.
Talk about being the governor of the state of Massachusetts. And the whole nine yards. And what happened was a lot of Tufts students, bought tickets for about, like 4 or 5 rows, and they all filled up these rows.
I heard it was around 60 students.
60 students. And they protested Charlie Baker.
How'd they do it?
The same... how did the chants go? No ban, no wall, no sanctuary for us.
So they were chanting during it.
They were doing no Baker, no KKK, no fascist USA.
Interesting. They were screaming they were protesting and shouting throughout, or did they do that?
They did it inside, and then what happened was they asked Charlie Baker, they said, why won't you make Massachusetts a sanctuary state.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I'll tell you why. And they walked out. They didn't listen to his answer. And then they said, why do you keep on defunding? I think it was, why you defund public education?
Uh-huh.
And right when he was giving his answer, they all walked out. So, my question for you...
Yeah, this brings up a pretty iffy
which
subject.
Brings up an interesting subject, which I agree with some people on, disagree
mm-hmm.
with others. Why do you think... Do you think the protests are justified and not? And the walking out is justified and not? And do you think that these protests... or a smart way of dealing with everything, or what's your opinion?
Yeah, I have a couple of brief things to say, and then I think you can piggyback off of it, because I think we're on the same page. I think the protest is justifiable, but misconstrued. I think Charlie Baker is actually a more progressive conservative when it comes down to how radical or extreme the field can get. And I think I'm a firm believer in like open dialogue and just discussing from different point of views to just try to understand the other side and see like where you can grow from there. So like for someone or a group of people to not listen to someone who's actually compared to some other, let's say governors or people in Congress, pretty progressive. Let's say like he's totally for women's rights, pro-choice, stuff like that. I think you can do better and actually maybe use this like organized event to a better extent and actually maybe listen to him. I think you could probably speak to him. For someone, he has reasons why he's doing it. I think you can listen to what he has to say. So I understand the protest. The one thing I'm against is walking out. You gotta listen to what he wants. You have to hear why he wants to, let's say like the education question.
Yeah.
I think you gotta hear him. I think it's like important to understand the other side and then use your intellectual mind and like your ideas to counteract what he's saying, or give your idea, like instead of just, because then it's just bashing of heads.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a bashing of heads.
Yeah.
It's totally, I think it's, our friend has a much different idea on this.
Yeah.
I think he, like, this is also, I think, a thing you can talk about. It's interesting because giving him that platform is like, he, in his mind, is doing the wrong thing. So I think they were protesting,
like already giving him the opportunity to speak is
on a grand scheme. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was saying that's what they were protesting. And this, I think, ties extremely strongly. That doesn't even make sense. It ties really well with Milo Yiannopoulos and going on Bill Maher, because putting him on that stage, a lot of people were questioning that, right? People were like, why are you giving him the spotlight? But there's that other argument that like he already had the spotlight, and for Bill Maher to bring him on there, let him give his ideas and then like try to bash them is a whole different opportunity. Same with Lahren on
Tommy Lahren, yeah,
on the Daily Show. It's just like, it's debatable. What do you think?
I definitely take a little bit of a more aggressive stance. Like I am
okay.
Obviously.
Wait, you mean aggressive on
like UK? Like don't even like I see no argument of the other side. Like you, I don't even think he's protestable. I mean,
interesting.
You don't think
he's protestable?
I mean, I think he's protestable, but like, I mean, I'm a huge defender of the First Amendment, right? And as a disclaimer for those who don't know, I'm pretty liberal. But I have to say, of all things, Charlie Baker is very middle of the road. I can't stress that enough.
Yeah.
He did not vote for Donald Trump. He does not support Donald Trump. And so to say I get the idea of protesting the idea of giving him an opportunity to speak. Like, but this isn't Milo Yiannopoulos. This isn't David Duke going to speak. You know, this isn't Milo Yiannopoulos. You guys are saying no Baker, no KKK, no Fascist USA.
He's not for it.
I mean, I think he's the further. I mean, there's a website called why am I blanking out? Hold on. Here it is. It's ontheissues.org. Charlie Baker is considered a moderate conservative. He's like right in the middle, so this is little square, you see.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Yeah, cool.
Barack Obama is very close. George H.W. Bush, who's considered the most, not George Bush, George H.W. Yeah. Papa, he's considered the most middle of the road Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they asked Charlie Baker about defunding public education, he said, never in my career, and I researched this, never in his career has he defunded public education. His three kids go to public school, you know, and his answer. And I thought his answer to he is extremely pro immigrant rights. In Boston, they said they can any immigrant who's undocumented.
Not no to the, him, like, yeah, yeah, but yeah. I'm saying, oh, no, yeah, to the protest.
No, any immigrant who coming to the United States that's under trial or, you know, Boston's obviously a sanctuary city, is free to stay in the church in Copley Square. Like, he is as liberal as they come on those issues. You can't make his answer, and I'm not saying I agree with it. If I could make Massachusetts sanctuary state and make Massachusetts sanctuary state, but he said, I have nothing against sanctuary cities, but we don't want to be the thou shalt government. We don't want to say this is what you have to do. Some cities should make the decisions for themselves. It's too big of government, too big a hand of government to say.
Sure.
Which is fair. I'm not saying I agree with it, but to this idea of equating
and not letting him say that
and not letting him say that, but not listening to that, you know. It's funny, I'm a Democrat, I'm a liberal, but I honestly think, like, we advocate for free speech all the time, but that's not advocating for free speech. You listen to what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is Donald Trump. You don't have to listen to a word of it. Like, I hate Donald Trump, and I mean, the list goes on for all the wrongdoings.
Yeah.
But this is Charlie Baker. I mean, the worst he's done is probably publicly support police unions, which is a debatable, you know. So I think it's crazy. I think no one is going to, I mean, the Boston Globe, a lot of publications wrote about these protests, and I don't think that anyone is going to want to come to Tufts University.
I think it's unfortunate because people are probably going to eat this up. I feel like from what you've said, like the way they reacted to certain policies, which are, as it's clear, pretty in the middle.
Yeah.
It just defeats the purpose, you know?
I mean, I think that what happened is people Wikipedia'd him, saw that he was a Republican, and said, no Republicans here.
But you want to think that it was deeper than that, that they've done
I mean,
more
maybe.
Than that.
I mean, it was probably deeper than that for some of our friends who did it, who protested. But for some people, I asked, and they couldn't give me... They said, well, he's a Republican. He supports Donald Trump. I'm like, no, he actually did not vote for Donald Trump. He disclosed that he did not vote for Donald Trump. Last thing on this topic, unless you have anything else you want to say.
No, I'm good.
I think we kind of sort of agree.
Yeah, we're on very similar page.
Barack Obama said, and I'm going to quote this, and I'm not going to get this wrong. Listen, engage. If the other side has a point, learn from them. If they're wrong, rebuke them. Teach them. Beat them on the battlefield of ideas. I think that's coming from, you know, my... If I ever worshipped a god, it'd be the holy god Barack Hussein Obama. He's my hero, and I subscribe to that message.
Well
so.
Said. Next topic is
Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, we'll quickly talk about that. I mean, that's going on right now. There's a live press.
I literally have it here.
Conference right now. It started at 4 p.m. we're not
it
playing
thing,
it. That's good. We're gonna get like copyright like problems. You can't play it, but yeah, we have it open. This all went down. A lot of this stuff went down today. What do you think about all this?
He has no place in the White House.
What's gonna happen then?
A lot
of Republicans are advocating or telling him to.
Well, certain Republicans. So not. Not the Trump constituency. Those guys are like, oh, he's fine. There's no questionable record. Remember, he's trying to be the Attorney General of the United States of America as our top prosecutor. So you can't have any kind of backlash, any history, any record of any faulty, suspicious, deals or breaking the law. You have to have a clean record, right? And obviously what's coming into question is during the election cycle, especially towards the tail end of it, what were his interactions with Russia? And its concern is that, you know, there's a litany of evidence suggesting that Russia was involved in hacking the election, mm-hmm. and in affecting our holiest of holy institutions, or second holiest next to the media, which is already screwed. And so, you know, Democrats, led mostly by Chuck Schumer. I think Chuck Schumer of New York, Senate Minority Leader, House Minority Leader, is leading this kind of investigate. I mean, the investigation is a private, serious investigation, but he's kind of leading the dialogue against Sessions. So, yeah, I think Trump's constituency really wants him in.
Yeah, they made a statement today.
Yeah, and Trump himself made a statement today. But I think some of the more middle-of-the-road people, like Charlie Baker and John McCain, I just have to side note, like, would anyone call John McCain a fascist? I mean, I get he's a registered Republican, but is he a fascist? Because when you say words like, no Baker, no KKK, no fascist USA, those words, I'm going to take them.
Them,
I'm
going to
take, yeah, you can't talk, you know, Donald Trump is a fascist. Donald Trump, when David Duke endorsed Donald Trump, it was totally cool. He is a fascist. That sentence, no Trump, no KKK, no fascist USA, is good. Mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly.
And even that's not a radical, that's like a bold thing to say as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's evidence.
I'm okay with that. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
like,
you're just saying, like, already it's like.
Even that itself, if you put that if you said that through a megaphone to anybody in the United States, it's like a bold statement.
So anyways, Republicans like sweet Lindsey Graham, I love Lindsey Graham, and John McCain and, you know, those guys. The good ones. sorry.
10 people driving on the way to leaving work.
Sorry.
Switching station.
Yeah, sorry for my, I'm a little bit partisan.
It's okay.
I'm not that bad.
It's okay, we're subjectively objective. Yeah, we never said we were going to be
in the middle. Yeah, it's a disclaimer.
And then you also gave a disclaimer.
I mean, the thing is they're wording it well, actually. They're doing a good job. They're saying we're going to respect the results of an investigation, and we understand that, that the Jeff Sessions can't have a suspicious background and criminal activity.
All right, real quick, what do you think is going to happen?
He's going to get it. He's going to be the Attorney General.
I have a feeling it's going to happen too. Yeah. Unless there's more evidence, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. Good
music
talk.
Time.
Major switch. We're going to talk about music now.
Yeah, we are.
So I've got a couple of tunes tracked up after this, two of them coming from new music that I've heard this week. One of my favorite bands, The Districts, have announced that their album's going to be coming out later in the year, and they released a new song yesterday through SoundCloud. Now it's on Spotify. And Steven and I, when we were freshmen, we went to go see The Districts. Steven didn't know much about The Districts, but I made him come.
I liked it.
And they had an incredible stage presence. They've transcended their sound from more garage blues to indie rock. And this new song actually has a new sound. So I want to hear what you think about this song also. So I'm going to put it on. It's in my opinion, it's awesome. I just want to hear what you think. I mean, it does have a different sound to it.
Yeah. Sunset, I'll let you down again. An ordinary sunset, an ordinary day. An ordinary sunset, I'll let you down again. On your own, I'd let you fall down in a garden full of bees. Picking through lilacs, covered in
then again the thought I'd say, will it hit you when the feeling's right? On your own, I'd let you fall down in a garden full of bees. On your own, picking through my locks, covered in gold and kicking through the belly ache.
What'd you think, Steven, of that song? Is called
amazing.
Ordinary Day. Ordinary Day by The District's new single. Think it's amazing?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was outstanding.
Yeah, I'm really happy about it.
I just like the lyrics were really, really, really good, and they were easy to understand and hear, which is not which they're not usually good at.
Yeah. Their style Their first and second album, the lyrics are basically poems. I was talking to Steven about this earlier. He's very poetic. The lyrics are some of the best I've ever seen, like, of bands I listen to. But he doesn't articulate it well. And no. It's probably his choice, which is interesting. So you can't understand what he's saying. And this is the first song where you can clearly understand what he's saying. And the lyrics are weird. They're weird. Talking about, like, falling into, like, a garden and then driving away. Like, picking through lilacs. Like, it's just cool. The song is, like... It's like euphoric.
It felt like a Pet Shop Boys or Beatles.
It's the Beatles version of their.
Yeah. No, so, it was like a. Not Pet Shop Boys, but I meant to say Beach Boys. Like Pet Sounds, yeah. Beach Boys. If you listen to Pet Sounds, like that.
Yeah, I know one song by them.
Yeah.
That's it though.
It was weird. It was good.
Yeah.
It was very good actually. Hopefully they blow up.
Yeah.
They're not super.
No.
Not super popular, but they're a good band.
The districts
deserve to be popular.
Yeah, the Districts are a four-piece band from outside of Philly in a suburban town. They made their first album when they were finishing high school, and they had a very garage blues sound. They were incredible right from the get-go. And then
they go to college or no?
No, I think some of them went to Drexel for a tiny bit, and then they dropped out. Mm-hmm. Then they ended up making their first labeled album, A Flourish and a Spoil, which is one of my favorite albums ever. It's just incredible. They kind of went from a blues garage sound to an indie sound, and They did a really good job. And on top of that, they have one of the best stage presence I've ever seen. You know that.
Yeah.
They just go nuts. He like has like Ian Curtis borderline crazy reactions to his own music.
He like broke, he almost broke his guitar.
Yeah.
Like,
he has the same guitar clearly from high school because it's so beat up.
Yeah.
He smashed it, threw it at the cymbal, like just freaking out. And it's like, it's really like refreshing to see, because like you sort of feel like that internalized. Like, if you really like the Districts, some of their songs make you feel like that, just but you're not going to do it. And then to see him react like that is just like, okay, that's what it means.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that new song is really cool. You can understand what he's saying. It's more graceful. I think the new album's going to be sick. I mean, that's a good start. I'm intrigued.
All right. Let's, do you know, Pierce and I play a lot of FIFA. There's a FIFA song that I am obsessed.
All right, you add that to the playlist. Oh, I'm just gonna put on the next song. One.
What's the next song?
The next song's by a Canadian band called Always, and they have a very Fourth Wanderers vibe. Fourth Wanderers is the New Jersey band, and the bassist goes to Tufts, but it's cool. It's nice and chill. You guys are gonna enjoy it.
What song to play?
This did not just happen.
So, we're so sorry, but we're gonna play this song. This is Soyo. It's on the FIFA soundtrack. Enjoy.
Soy yo.
I'm so sad that that happened.
Oh my god.
Well, that song was on our playlist,
but like
the song before was Atop a Cake by Always,
and it was very good, and we interrupted it with
I don't know what happened. It just played.
It was
well, anyway,
so funny.
That was a funny FIFA song. Off FIFA 17 that Steven and I play a lot.
I love that song. Oh, it's really catchy.
It's very catchy. I'm just sad it interrupted so abruptly.
It interrupted. Like, I was in such a good mood in the song, and then I was like,
God, why do they even have a radio station at Tufts? We clearly don't know what we're doing.
No, we don't.
All right. Well, I have a. We're still on schedule. So the next song actually is from Hippocampus. The band from Minnesota.
Minnesota.
They're very cool. They just released their new album. It's actually their debut album, technically, because their older material, they released like two EPs. So their two other EPs were kind of like an indie pop, but like more energetic and like guitar riff vibe. And this one has a different vibe to it. It's definitely like indie pop, alt nation. So I don't know how I feel about it yet. I listened to the album and I did not fall in love with it, but this one song is cool.
Before you play it, did you know that there was one week in Minnesota last year where the temperature wasn't warmer than negative 20 degrees?
That's insane. The song's about that week that it was never over negative 20 degrees. It's called This Week Was Never... No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
The song's cool. The lyrics are actually really cool. It's kind of slow, but it then builds up a little bit. Yes. Yeah.
Packed her bags
Poems by Hippocampus off their new album, Landmark. And it was pretty nice. It was graceful. I like it. It's one of the songs that grew on me. All right, next song is, in the rap side of things,
Ayo.
Nas.
Oh, snap. Nasty Nas.
This is off his most recent album, actually. It's such a good song. And it features posthumous presence of
posthumous.
Amy. Did I say posthumous?
Yes.
The posture. Possumous. Possums.
Possums.
A possumous. Possumous. Anyway, Amy Winehouse is on it.
I love Amy Winehouse.
She sounds great.
Someone to talk me off the bridge any day or night. She teach me how to live, she ain't afraid of life. Not easily impressed with the rich or famous life, cause she done been there and heard all the rumors before. She love art, she ride out with me on my music tour. She like the herbs, natural medicine, she cooking good. She tell me everything is cool when they ain't looking good. For real, the world's so ill. Yo, I want a girl so real, who not after material wealth, but get dough still. Or maybe an educator, a lady with etiquette, who could be from out the hood or either work for the president, as long as there's no selfishness. Yes, as long as her love for the people is deep rooted and evident, you could be easily recruited, your heaven sent. Your smile put me at ease, you the woman I need, but where is she?
Where is he?
On account of my lifestyle's perception, evade my personal life out of the question. What are they expecting? I be trying to reply them. They never suppose I get my quiet time. And they think forever I'm rolling the dough, swimming in a pool of cash. Gods, wouldn't they know? Am I a fool to ask? I'm well known. Got people coming at me mad. I had to tell homes I don't keep a cell phone. My bad. I drag off the L and try to silence it. The noise in my head, the curse of the talented, strong communicator. Vagabond, I gallivant around the equator, and that will get me off the radar. It's so intense. I'm on my Lilo and Stitch, pour my Pinot Grigio crisp with some lime. Yo, it's this, an immaculate version of me and my Biggie, with all respect, cause you the only one who gets me.
Where is he?
Everything's good, everything's fine. Yeah, yeah, we bring it every time. Yeah, pour a little cherry wine. Yeah, hey yo, Salam. Yeah, I think they know the time. Everything's good, everything's fine. Yeah, you pour a little cherry wine. Yeah, life is good. Life is good. Yeah, life is good. No matter what, life is good. Life is good. Life is good. Yeah, life is good. No matter what, life is good.
Now where is he? The man who is just like me. I heard he was hiding somewhere I can see.
That was Cherry Wine featuring Amy Winehouse. It was like one of my favorite songs off of Nas's new album. Didn't get a lot of coverage because it's, you know.
Next show, I'm playing an Amy Winehouse song.
Okay.
I know exactly which one I'm going to play.
All right. This next song is a Foo Fighters song, but like you're going to have no clue that it's the Foo Fighters.
So it's not like loud and crunchy.
You could say that. What day is it?
That was a great John Mayer song.
No, that is grunge legend Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl. You know, Dave Grohl is my dad's favorite human.
Cool.
And I'm second.
That's our show, folks.
Dave, my dad. My dad's always like, yeah, Dave Grohl and I are the same.
I'm second.
No, sorry. He loves Dave Grohl.
It's so funny.
Talk about one of the most well-versed, talented musicians of all time.
It's true.
Drummer turned singer guitarist.
Natural. Just like.
He is a natural. He's 47.
He's a beast. Good for him. That's pretty much it. We got one more song. We're just going to check out with you right now.
It's Ultimate by Denzel.
It's not Ultimate. It's not by Ultimate. Denzel Curry.
Oh.
We're not playing that on the air.
We can't. There's we're no playing
clean,
it on the air.
There's no clean version.
We'll all just right. bleep out every curse word.
This is Stephen Devlin.
And Pierce Honig.
You're watching 91. You're watching. You're listening to 91.5 WMFO.
91.5 WMFO.
Medford Tufts. Freeform Radio. This is our ending closing song. Group Love.
Goodbye now.
Yeah. from 91.5 WMFO in Medford. You're listening to Atomic Bomb.